Through the amazing grace of God, once again we're spared this side of eternity and are permitted to meet here on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, to worship God in spirit and in truth. We're certainly glad to have you present, and if you who are visiting with us, we welcome you back. Maxine and I are glad to have Gary from Texas with us, visiting over the weekend. Always good to see him. And by the way, Larry's out of town. He's down in Florida at this time at Hollywood, Florida. I talked to him this morning. He'll be worshiping with the church at Hollywood, Florida, down near Miami, where I conducted meetings several years ago. My lessons come from various sources, and actually what I'm going to preach on today was a result of something which happened this past week. Following the Wednesday night service, I went down to Doug and Martha's home to visit a little while, and the telephone rang while I was there, and it was Dr. Stephen Nail's wife. She called Doug, answered the phone, and she wanted to talk to me, and she was disturbed over a lesson she'd heard on Wednesday night relative to blaspheming against the Holy Ghost. She told me over the phone that the teacher had said that Matthew 12, when it talks about blaspheming against the Holy Ghost, referred to the Muslim religion, and that Muslims couldn't be forgiven in this world or in the world to come because they were blaspheming against the Holy Ghost. She wanted to know what I thought about that, and I said, well, I don't believe the Bible really teaches that. And I went on to try my best to explain blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. This is a text which gives a lot of people trouble, and it has been the seedbed of a lot of false doctrine. And the reason people really become alarmed by this text is that it's sort of scary, because it says that if you blaspheme against the Holy Ghost, you're not going to be forgiven in this world or in the world to come. And that shakes people up because they say, I don't want to commit that sin because if I commit it, I'm doomed for hell. So I want to know what it is. And people say, I just want to know what blaspheming the Holy Ghost is, because evidently it's pretty dangerous according to the context. So I want to read it for you, even though it was read in your hearing a moment ago. I want to read from Matthew 12, and by the way, this is recorded also in Mark, the third chapter, but it's basically the same thing, I'll not read both of the text. In verse 31, this is what the Lord said, wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. Well, that's a pretty straightforward statement, that you can't be forgiven for blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. Now, notice the next verse here. It says, and whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, and that's Jesus, of course, Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him, but whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this age or world, some translations say age, which I think is a little better, in this world or in the world to come. Now, that, of course, many times gets people's attention because it's a very serious thing. You know, they say the best place to start any discussion is with a proper definition of terms. And I think that's right. And so I'm going to try to do that in discussing this subject, because if you don't understand words, you have a difficulty understanding the text. Let's take the word blaspheme from blaptophema. If you look that up in a lexicon, and I have, it means to vilify, it means to rail or defame. The dictionary says to show irreverence toward something that is sacred, or to show contempt. And all of those are pretty good definitions. So it simply means to speak to hurt. That's what blasphemy means. So let's get that settled as to what the word means. And you can blaspheme in a number of different ways. You don't blaspheme in just one way. If you speak to belittle someone, you're blaspheming against that person. Someone could blaspheme against you, or you could blaspheme against someone else. To speak to hurt them in some way. An example of this is during the ministry of Jesus, the Jews said, he saved others, but he can't save himself. That's blasphemy, because they were deriding him. They were speaking to hurt Jesus. And so we want to define the term itself. It isn't just one particular statement that you can make. A number of statements could be made which you could put in the category of being blasphemy if you look up the word itself. And as I said, you could blaspheme against anyone. But they blasphemed against Jesus during his personal ministry, but they were forgiven on the day of Pentecost. You know, a great gathering. Many of these Jews, Peter said, had crucified Jesus. They'd blasphemed against him, but they were forgiven because they repented. They repented of their sins. But I want to make a point to you right here while I'm on this subject. Let us say that these Jews would never repent and they blasphemed against Jesus. They wouldn't be forgiven in that age in the world to come just for blaspheming against Jesus. Someone says, but he said they could be forgiven. That's true. That's true. Because they repented. They repented. Now, what we're going to get around to in just a moment, can a person repent for blaspheming against the Holy Ghost? We're going to find out what it is. I believe that one can. I don't believe the text anywhere indicates that you couldn't repent for this. What you have to understand is in this particular context, Jesus is talking about two persons in the Godhood. One is Jesus, the Son of Man. The other is the Holy Ghost. They're both in the Godhead. There's God, Christ, and the Holy Ghost. Now, he said, if you blaspheme against me, that is Christ, he says, you can be forgiven. You can be forgiven. But if you blaptophemi, if you blaspheme against the Holy Ghost, you'll not be forgiven in this age or in the age to come. But what's he talking about age? Well, he's not talking about, in the latter part of it, the world being heaven, because in heaven, if you wait till you get to heaven or to eternity to get forgiveness, that's too late. You're forgiven before you go to heaven. So he's not talking about heaven. He's talking about an age. And the two ages that he's talking about is the age in which Jesus lived and in which the Holy Ghost lived, which came on the day of Pentecost. What Jesus is telling them is that I'm going to be here a short time. I'm gone. I'm going to heaven. But he said, I'm going to send the Comforter. Now, if you turn over to the John, the 16th chapter, verse 7, Jesus said, it is expedient that I go away, but if I go away, he said, I'll send the Comforter. And he says, which is the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. So now the Holy Spirit is going to come after, in that age, after Jesus has gone. And that's what he's talking about, the two ages. It is the age when Jesus was here, and then the age when the Holy Spirit would be here guiding the apostles. Now, may I say this? When Jesus was here, he was incarnated and in a person. The Holy Ghost has never been in a person. Now, he's a personality, but he's never come down here in a physical body. Jesus came in a physical body. Therefore, they blasphemed against him because they could see him. He was here in a body, as you very well know. But he makes a contrast between blaspheming against himself, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost. Question, how then would they blaspheme against the Holy Ghost? He wasn't in person. Well, it would be through his teaching. That's the only way you could blaspheme against him. But where was his teaching? His teaching was embodied in the apostles and inspired men. If you turn over to Acts, the second chapter, you'll find that Peter and the apostles were baptized with the Holy Ghost. There's that personality, the Holy Ghost. And they spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, to blaspheme against the Holy Spirit would be to blaspheme against what the apostles said as they were guided by the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit was not here in person. Only through, he spoke through the apostles. So how would one blaspheme against the Holy Spirit anyway? Well, the only way that I know you could blaspheme against the Holy Spirit is what he's revealed. Because that's all we know about him, and he's the revelator. Therefore, when you blaspheme against the teaching of the apostles, who were guided by the Holy Spirit, you are blaspheming against the Holy Ghost. So we've got to define terms here. Sometimes we just assume we know what that means, but we got to find out what it means to blaspheme against the Holy Ghost. Remember, the Holy Ghost wasn't here in a person like Jesus. Now, he said, if you blaspheme against me, you'll be forgiven. But he says, if you blaspheme against the Holy Ghost, you'll not be forgiven in this age or in the age to come. Someone says, but preacher, all right, let us say that I speak against the Holy Ghost. What Jesus said, if I just do that one time, that I can't go to heaven. No, you've assumed something in the text. It doesn't say that. You know, some people assume that Jesus said, if you blaspheme against the Holy Ghost one time, you're doomed. That's not what he said. You put the word one in there. It's not in the text. What he's talking about is a continuation of blaspheming against the Holy Ghost. Just like if you continue to blaspheme against Jesus, if those Jews had continued to blaspheme against Jesus, they wouldn't have been forgiven in the age to come. You can't be forgiven unless you repent. So that would apply to Jesus, except for the fact that some of them repented. Some of them didn't repent, and they're going to meet God on the day of judgment unprepared. They're not going to meet God forgiven. Many people that blasphemed against Jesus are not forgiven. Why? Because he wouldn't repent. Not everybody of those Jews repented for blaspheming against Jesus. They didn't do that. Only some of them did. Only some. And so the same thing is true with the Holy Ghost. He didn't say, now, if you blaspheme against the Holy Ghost, one time you're in trouble. That's not what it says. That's not what it says. What he's talking about is to continue to blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, just as you could continue to blaspheme against Jesus and you would not be forgiven. But someone says, why did he contrast this between himself and the Holy Spirit? Now let me illustrate it to you, if I may. And I'm trying to make this as clear as I possibly can so that you'll understand what it means to blaspheme against the Holy Ghost. I illustrate it with the stream illustration where you're floating down a stream and you're going to go overboard and kill yourself. And you can't get out. You're going down this stream and there's a falls down there 200 feet high or low, and you're going to fall if someone doesn't rescue you. So man number one is standing up here with a rope, and he throws this rope out there and says, take hold of the rope and I'll pull you to safety. And you say, no, I'm not going to take a hold of this rope. Now, that's Jesus. Man number one is Jesus. He throws the rope, and they blaspheme against him, you see. And they say, we're not going to believe you, Jesus. We're not going to do that. Now, farther down the stream, there's a man number two. And who is man number two? It's the Holy Ghost. He is the Holy Ghost. And he throws you a rope. And you say, I'm not going to take it. You're doomed. You're not forgiven in this age or in the age to come. You could refuse Jesus. You could blaspheme him. But if you blaspheme against the Holy Ghost, there isn't a third man with a third rope standing down there to get you. That's what the Lord's talking about. There's not a third man. There's two men, but not three. You see, Jesus said, now, you can turn me down. But when that Holy Ghost comes, guiding the apostles, giving the word of God, if you turn that down, you're doomed. You won't be forgiven in this world and the world to come. And that's what he's talking about. See? Now, the truth about the matter is, if you said something against the Bible in a derogatory way, blasphemed against the Bible, and you repent of that, you can be forgiven because you've accepted the rope. But if you don't accept the rope, you're doomed. Now, you can reject Jesus' rope. Jesus said, now, you Jews, remember, this is Jesus talking during his ministry. He said, you Jews out here, you can turn down my rope. You can turn me down. But the Holy Ghost is going to come later. And it's going to guide the apostles into all truth. It's the Comforter. And as it guides the apostles into all truth, if you reject what they teach, which is the teaching of the Holy Ghost, and you don't repent of that, there's not a third man standing down there waiting on you to offer you another rope. You're through. Isn't that simple? That's what he's talking about. He's talking about the fact that you could turn down Jesus and still make it, but you can't turn down the second man. He's the last one on the shore. And if you do, you won't be forgiven in this age, the age in which Jesus lived, or the age of the Holy Ghost, the age to come. Because we're living in the age of the Holy Ghost now. Because all we have is this Bible, which from which I read here, which was revealed by the Holy Spirit. And in John 15, it says, when the Comforter comes, he will guide you into all truth. Now, What we notice in this particular text is some of the things that Jesus said. In Matthew 3:29, when he discussed this, there's a thing added that's not in Matthew's gospel, and I want to bring it up right now. He says, if you blaspheme against the Holy Ghost, you're in danger of eternal damnation. Did you notice that? Now, Matthew didn't say that, but Mark did. He says you're in danger. Well, you can be in danger of something without actually participating in it. That proves my point that if you'd repent for blaspheming against the Holy Ghost, you're only in danger in it when you're blaspheming. And if you don't straighten up, you're in trouble. You're in danger. Let me read another passage. Over in Matthew 5:22, says, if you call a brother a fool, you're in the danger of hellfire. In the danger of it? Yeah. It didn't say you're in hellfire, but you're in the danger of it if you don't repent. You call a brother a fool. You're in the danger of what? The same Greek word. He says you're in the danger of hellfire, so you're not there. But if you don't straighten up and start failing to call or repent for calling a brother a fool, he said you're going to go to hell. Now let's go back up to this other verse about blaspheming against the Holy Ghost. He says you're in the danger of eternal damnation. For doing what? Blaspheming against the Holy Ghost. But someone says you can't repent of that. Oh, that doesn't say that. Now you're in the danger of it. Mark says, he recorded, you're in the danger of eternal damnation. You're not there, but you're in the danger of it if you don't stop blaspheming against the Holy Ghost. If you don't stop speaking to hurt the Holy Ghost. You see the point? That's why I said some people assume when they read this, they assume that Jesus said, if you just speak to hurt the Holy Ghost one time, you can't be forgiven. No. He's talking about an age. He said, in this age or in the age to come, you can turn my rope down, you can turn me down, but you better not turn the Holy Ghost down because there's not a third man down there to save you. 1, 2, 3. You see how simple that is? So don't let someone mislead you on what blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. Define your terms, and then remember that Jesus said you're in the danger of eternal damnation if you blaspheme against the Holy Ghost. That is, if you continue to. But you could be in the danger of it, just like calling a man a fool, you could stop calling him a fool. You see? But if you continue to call him a fool, you're in the danger of hellfire, as he taught in the Sermon on the Mount. And he uses the same term here, the word danger, when you blaspheme against the Holy Ghost. So if you read this thing superficially, you might get the idea, well, this is pretty bad because what is this sin? Some have said, well, it's lying. Some have said, well, it's stealing. Some have said it's adultery. Some say it's this, and some say it's that. And some have said that it was attributing the power of Jesus to Beelzebub. Well, it's true in the text, just before this, they did that. But I don't believe that's what Jesus is talking about here. It's true they did attribute the power of Jesus to Beelzebub, prince of demons. That's true in Matthew 12. But then he comes on down, changes the subject, and he talks about the blaspheming against the Holy Ghost. So I want to tell you, you are in the danger of eternal damnation if you're making fun of the Bible and you're ignoring the Bible and what Paul said and what Peter said and what John said and what James said and what the writers of the Bible says. If you stand off and poke fun at it and make fun of it and deride it, then you are blaspheming against the Holy Ghost. And if you continue to do that, you're not going to be forgiven. Either in the age of Jesus, which is already gone, are in the Holy Ghost age in which we're living today. But there's not going to be another age. Because when this age is over, that's when the Lord's going to come again, 1 Thessalonians 4, coming on the clouds, and we're going to meet him in the air, that is God's people. We're living in the last days. We're living in the last age. And that's what the Lord was talking about here. If you continue to blaptophemi, if you continue to blaspheme against the Holy Ghost and make fun of the Bible or preachers who preach the Bible. And We read in the days of Paul, sometime when Paul would preach a sermon, the Jews would get off and make fun of him. They'd blaspheme him, blaspheme the word, blaspheme the Holy Ghost, because Paul was guided by the Holy Ghost. So was Peter and James and John. They were all guided by the Holy Ghost. That's the only way that you could blaspheme against the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost is not here in a person like Jesus. The Holy Ghost hasn't been incarnated, in other words. Now, therefore, we're finding out, trying to, and I tried to explain this to the lady who called me. There are a lot of brethren that are confused over this, and they get into all kinds of speculation about it. I know it's sort of scary to read it when it says you won't be forgiven in this age or in the age to come. But when you diagnose the text and you read what Mark said, that if you blaspheme against the Holy Ghost, that you're in the danger of eternal damnation, the danger doesn't mean you're there. If you get out here and drive an automobile 100 miles an hour down a road, you're in danger of a serious accident. But you haven't had the accident yet, but you're in the danger of one. But you haven't had it yet. And so when he says, if you blaspheme against the Holy Ghost, you're in the danger, and that's what it says. Someone said, well, I never noticed that. Well, that's very important when you're studying this thing. Very, very important that you're only in the danger of it. But someone said, how could I get out of the danger of it? By ceasing to do what you're doing, which is belittling the Word of God, belittling a gospel sermon, and perhaps either mentally or even verbally. That's why it's a serious thing when you read the teaching of the Bible, because the teaching of the Bible is the revelation of the Holy Ghost. You see, Peter said, holy men of God spoke as they were guided by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit guided these men in the proclamation of the gospel. And when Peter, when those Jews on the day of Pentecost, many of whom had blasphemed against Jesus, they'd blasphemed against him. He said, with wicked hands you have crucified the Son of God. He pointed a finger at him and said, you people I'm talking to, said, you crucified the Lord. Now, what are you going to do about it? Well, they said, men and brethren, what must we do? And Peter, under the guidance of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And when you make fun of what Peter said, which was under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, if you make fun of that, you're blaspheming the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit said it. Someone said, but he said it through Peter. So what? Peter was guided by the Holy Ghost, and he told him to repent. And if you make fun of that, or if you some way try to circumvent it because of some ideology that you have or some theology that you have, you could be blaspheming against the Holy Ghost, because you don't intend to do what it says. So the Bible says you've got to repent and be baptized if you have sinned, and we all have, by the way, Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And therefore, we need to repent of our sins, and we need to be baptized for the remission of the sins. And instead of standing off and making fun of the text, we need to do what it says, because that's the Holy Ghost talking to us. Someone said, well, that was Peter. Well, it was Peter doing it as he was the mouth for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was really doing the teaching. And if you blaspheme what Peter said, you're blaspheming against the Holy Ghost. And the same thing, ladies and gentlemen, the same thing is true when Peter said in 1 Peter 3:21, when once in the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein a few souls, that is eight, were saved by water, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. When he says baptism saves us, that's the Holy Ghost saying it. The Holy Ghost says baptism saves you. It didn't say baptism alone saves you. That's not what it said. I don't preach that, because I wouldn't be preaching what the Holy Spirit said. But I do preach that baptism saves, but not baptism only. It takes faith, repentance, confession, and baptism in order to eradicate your sins. And therefore, this is the teaching of the Holy Spirit, the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Now, in summary, the lady in New Albany, Indiana, She says the class was disturbed. We were all disturbed. We didn't know how to answer him. But said he said that this was the Muslims. And says they were blaspheming against the Holy Ghost. And they never could be saved. Well, now they may be blaspheming, and I imagine some of them are certainly against the Holy Ghost. But that doesn't mean they can't repent. That's an assumption. They can repent. Infidels have repented. Atheists have repented. Drunkards have repented. Fornicators have repented. And I believe Muslims can repent. Therefore, I don't know where the man came up with that idea. But he's as wrong as he can be. And I can understand how the class was disturbed. And someone who would teach that. He couldn't prove that if his life depended upon it. The truth about the matter is, a lot of people today are blaspheming against the Holy Ghost because they're blaspheming against the Bible, belittling the Scriptures, making fun of the Word of God, saying that it's an old Jewish fable. I maintain when a man tells you that the Bible is an old Jewish fable, he's blaspheming against the Bible. That's the Holy Spirit who revealed the Bible. Yeah, he is. He's making fun of it. That's what he's doing. He's deriding it. Just look up the word. It means to speak to hurt. But he can repent. He can repent. Infidels, atheists, agnostics, skeptics, freethinkers, modernists, fornicators, liars, thieves, Muslims, denominationalists, they can all repent. They can all repent. So you can repent for blaspheming against the Holy Ghost. But if you don't, you won't be forgiven in the age past or in this age. And it's the last age. There's not a third man on the shore. Remember our illustration? Don't forget that. There's not a third man with a rope. That's what Jesus meant. He didn't mean it was any more serious to blaspheme against the Holy Ghost than it was him. He was simply showing you that there's only two, Christ and the Holy Spirit. And if you turn down the Holy Spirit, you're through. But you could turn him down and there's still hope for you. That's all he's saying. If you're here today and subject to the invitation, I hope you'll accept the teaching of the Holy Spirit through the Bible and obey the gospel. Be baptized into Christ. Live that Christian life so that when the lengthening shadows of life cross the horizon of eternity, you'll be prepared to meet your God when the Lord comes again. We hope you'll respond. Let's stand with Art and sing our invitation song at this time.